thing you said in the prayer that was offered, recognizing the power of God and how He is ultimately in control in our lives. It's good tonight to know in this troubled world that we live in that we're not alone, and that the Lord is aware of everything that we stand in need of, and that nothing surprises Him, nothing gets past Him. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the good and the evil. And that He's a God of love, as well as a God of power, that He has a love for His people. And we're under the watch care of the Lord as we live here in this world. And He does care for us, and we can cast all our cares upon Him, for He cares for us. And that would not be the case, as Brother Terry mentioned in his prayers, were it not for Jesus and what Jesus did for us at Calvary. God would not be just in showing sinners as we are any favor or any mercy were it not someone who paid that price. And that price was indeed paid by the Lord Jesus Christ. Tonight we're here to worship God. We're here to worship God the Father, and God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We tried to do that in our song service. We lifted up our voices in praise. We came before His presence with singing. We opened up our hearts and spoke to the Lord and spoke to one another in psalms and in hymns and in spiritual songs, making melody in our hearts unto the Lord. That makes us feel better as God's children, even if we don't have any preaching tonight. We've had the gospel shared tonight from one to another through those hymns that we have sung, and I sure felt the Lord in that. It's been a great blessing. I would lie to you tonight if I didn't tell you I wasn't very physically tired, because I am. And I've got a little bit of back pain even going on right now that I'm feeling. You know, I'm at that point where the pain is either in my foot or it's either in my back or it's somewhere. I'm thankful that my brain is not strong enough to pick up pains in several places. As long as one place is hurting, the other places doesn't seem to be hurting so bad. But I am having a little bit of trouble with that tonight. So just pray for me that I can remove all those natural things out of the way, and that the Lord would bless us to sit together for a little while in heavenly places in Christ Jesus and share the spiritual truth that comes from the Word of God. We have before us the Bible, which is God's holy word, written by holy men as God moved them and the Holy Spirit moved them and gave them the ability to write those things. Those men were holy not because of their own selves, but by the work and the grace of Almighty God. And we have this book preserved for us tonight. It acts as a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And I know Jesus is the light of the world, and He's the source of all light, but the Lord also has left for us His Word to be a light for us in this dark world. And there is instruction in God's Word, both Old and New Testament. It was written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scripture might have hope. I didn't get that quite right, but it's similar to that and found over in the book of Romans. And we have a great, great blessing tonight to be able to share with you from the Word of God. We also know how much we need the Lord, just as I feel Brother Terry was blessed to pray in a way that was honoring to God. I hope tonight to be able to speak or preach in a way that honors God. And like he said, the Lord needs to give us the ear to hear, the eye to see, and the heart to understand the preaching of the gospel. The Lord is the one who makes us interested. The Lord is the one who causes it to be something meaningful to us. The Lord is the one that allows us to get away from the natural thinking that we have so much about us, and to walk in the Spirit and to think in the Spirit and to grow in the grace and knowledge of the truth. And so I pray tonight the Lord would just bless us to look for a little while at a portion of His Word. If you have your Bibles, I'd like to read to you tonight from the book of 1 John. Called the First Epistle General of John, and I like to read right at the beginning of 1 John in chapter 1. We'll read all of chapter 1, which has 10 verses, and a couple verses over into chapter 2, and whether we get to cover all of those verses tonight. Well, that's yet to be seen. We'll just try to follow as the Lord will lead us along, and as we feel like He's leading us to quit, we'll do that. So you just pray for me that I'll, as we sang in that hymn, not my way, but Thy way, O Lord. And we pray that He would lead us and direct us to where we should be tonight. But beginning right at chapter 1, we have some wonderful language here that's about the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's who John is speaking of here in these verses. And in reality, that's what the entirety of the Word of God is about. The Scripture is about Jesus Christ and Him crucified and the message of Christ. And this is no exception. Reading right in chapter 1, verse 1, we find this writing. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of Him, and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. My little children, these things write unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. John here, the John under consideration, is John the Apostle, the beloved John, the John who wrote the Gospel of John, the John who also was blessed to write the book of Revelation, the John that was laid his head upon Jesus' breast, the John that Jesus loved, and he wrote about himself in the Gospel of John as that disciple that Jesus loved. And John had a very special relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Of course, as we say that about John, we can say that about every little child of grace. Every little child of grace is special in the sight of the Lord Jesus Christ. And John is talking about the fellowship that God's children have, not only with one another, but with God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit through the Lord Jesus Christ. And what a great, great blessing that is tonight, that we might have fellowship with the Lord. Now, who is it that we have fellowship? Nothing, no one less than the one who created the heavens and the earth and all that therein is. We saw that hurricane come and how much power that it had and how much might that it had. Well, in comparison to the God of heaven who created all things, that storm was at His beck and will and control. And God, we recognize as the one who created this world, created the heavens and the earth and all that therein is. Though we sometimes don't understand all the things that He suffers or allows to happen and why it happens in this world, we know the secret things belong to the Lord. It's just a great blessing tonight to know that our God is in the heavens and He's done whatsoever He has pleased and that He is absolutely in control of our lives. And John is telling us about that. He says, that which was from the beginning. You see, our God is not the creation of is not our creation. But He's the one that created us. He's the one that made us. And there was that which was in the beginning and was there in the beginning We read all the way over in Genesis 1, and we read that first verse of Genesis 1. It says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Before anything else was, there was God. Now, the nature and the character of God is taught in the Word of God. Otherwise, we wouldn't know and understand about that. We know that God is a triune God, a God who is God the Father, and God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And these three agree in one, and these three are one. We understand there are three distinct persons in the Godhead, and yet these three are one. There's not a lot more we can say about that other than that's what the Bible teaches, and I'm so thankful that's the case. And in the beginning, as he says here, that which was from the beginning, there was God the Father, but there was also God the Son, and there was God the Holy Spirit. And one thing we want to know and understand about the Son and need to know and understand about the Son is that the Son didn't just come along the scene later on, but he's the eternal Son of God. As much as the Father is the eternal Father, the Son is the eternal Son. And in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and he did that in the person of his Son, the living Word, and that's who's under consideration here in this passage. He says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard. And here's a wonderful thought, that there was one that John had heard, who was the one who was in the beginning, who was the Word. John heard him with his own, heard his natural voice, heard him speak. And we would say, well, how in the world could a sinner like John hear the Son of God? Well, it's because of the love of God that Jesus Christ came into this world. It was because of the love of God that he took upon himself a body of flesh. It was because of the love of God that he was willing to come and live as a man, and humbled himself and took upon himself a body of flesh and was made like unto us, that he might die for us and pay the sin debt for us and have fellowship and communion with John and with the apostles and with God's children. And tonight, I believe, has fellowship with us through and by that same power and that same way. He says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes. John, he heard Jesus, but he also saw Jesus. We're not tonight following cunningly devised fables. Over, I believe it's in 2 Peter, if I can find that verse, in the first chapter of 2 Peter. Peter says here to God's little children, he says, we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. When you're reading the Bible and what's going on in the Bible, we're reading eyewitness accounts from those who saw him and walked with him. There was a Jesus who was born of a virgin and who came forth as the Son of God and lived his life before men. There was a Jesus that when the lame, he came across the lame, they were healed. There was a Jesus who opened the eyes of the blind. There was a Jesus who had the power to stop a funeral procession and raise a son back to life and give that son back to his mother. There was a Jesus who stood at the tomb of Lazarus and said, Lazarus, come forth, and Lazarus came forth. There was a Jesus who had a little woman come out and reach and touch the hem of his garment, and virtue flowed out of him, and that woman who had an issue of blood for 12 years was healed. There was a Jesus who a blind Bartimaeus cried out to, O thou son of David. And Jesus heard his cry and opened the eyes of the blind and had absolutely no trouble doing that. There was a Jesus who walked with his disciples and talked with them and taught them along the way, who knew what they were thinking before they thought it, and who did for them what they could not do. When it came time to pay tribute, there was a Jesus who could reach over, who sent Peter to reach over into the ocean, into the sea, and pull out a fish, and from the fish's mouth paid the tribute that was necessary to be paid. Listen, these things are not make-believe stories. There would be people who said, oh, I don't believe in a Jesus like that. I'm telling you tonight, I do. How about you? Do you believe in him? Do you believe that Jesus was the same Jesus who spoke this world into existence? Who spoke it when there was nothing?
He made something out of nothing. He made this earth and he hung it on nothing. And you look at the vastness of this universe and realize what a mighty, awesome God that could create such a place that we live on, like planet Earth and the universe we live in. I'm telling you, if this world that he's made is beautiful, how beautiful must heaven be? And what a day it'll be when we get to see it. And not with the polluted eye that we're looking through now, but with an eye that's been washed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But there were disciples and apostles and God's children who had fellowship with him. And here John is saying, I want you that I'm writing to, and you that would be in future generations, to know that this Jesus was not just a story or a make-believe tale, but we are not following cunningly devised fables tonight. But he walked and he talked and he lived. And not only did he do all that, and they saw it. But they saw it when men took him and mocked him and ridiculed him and spit upon him and took nails and nailed them into his hands and took nails and nailed them into his feet. When they placed a crown of thorns upon his head, when his back was ripped open and made just a fleshly mess from the hands of man. And not only that, they saw when the earth became dark, and for that period of time, the very wrath of God was poured out on his only begotten Son. They heard the voice of the Father saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." They heard Jesus cry out, "It is finished." And not only that, did they see him die, but on the third revolving morning, they saw him come forth from the grave, and they saw an empty tomb. And there, as they met together, shaking and quaking in fear of what was going to happen to them because of what had happened to him, Jesus appeared in the midst of them, and he said this to them, "If you need to touch me, touch me. Here's my hands, here's my feet." And he showed to them not only that he came and showed. They saw him on the Mount of Transfiguration. They saw him in his glorified state. Even James and Peter and John was blessed to see that. But then they also saw him in his glorified body after the resurrection. And he walked here on the face of the earth some 40 days. What a time that would have been to have walked and talked with Jesus in that day and age. Sometimes we think, well, you know, if I lived back then, I would have just been able to believe so much better. Do you know that the time and the age when Jesus said, "I go away," he didn't say, "I'm going to go away and leave you alone." He said, "I'm going to send the Comforter to you." Tonight, you and I have with us in this building and with us in our hearts right now, the Holy Comforter that is with us, that Jesus gave to us to let us know in our hearts that all these things are so. Tonight, do you believe them? I'm telling you, if you believe him, it isn't because you got smart enough to believe him. It isn't because the story came to you in such a powerful way you naturally was convinced of it. I'm telling you, if you've seen it tonight and you can believe it tonight, it's because the Spirit of Almighty God has worked in your heart that which you could not do, and he's allowed you to know and understand, so that I walk in this world tonight and every other day of my life when I'm in the right spiritual frame of mind, knowing that I'm not alone, but the Lord walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And we have sweet fellowship with the Lord. And I believe if we could hear John's voice, I believe he's excited about it. I believe John is saying, look, what we've seen is the most wonderful Savior that has ever been, the only Savior that has ever been, not just one of a bunch, but the only one who could do what he did, the only one who could live like he lived, the only one who was perfect in every way. He's the one who has washed us and redeemed us, and he's the one with whom we have fellowship, and he's the one who's given us fellowship with one another, and he's the one that has made life worth living, and he's the one, if you love him and know him tonight, we have fellowship even with the apostles and what they believe. Tonight, I believe what the apostles believe, or I want to believe it as much as I can. Don't you? I don't want a new faith. I don't want a new belief. I want to earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. I want to believe in the same Savior. I don't want to believe in a weak, effeminate character who wants to do something and can't get it done. I want to believe in the God who is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, not only was, but is, and will ever be. And we tonight can trust in him and leave our salvation completely in his hands
and leave a throne of grace tonight with peace, knowing the Lord will take care of us, his children. He said this, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the word of life. Who was Jesus? He was the word of life. He was the living word. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. Over in the book of the writings of John, in John chapter 1 of the Gospel of John, he says that so clearly and so plainly, that who is it that created the heavens and the earth? This is the declaration of who Jesus was. He wasn't. There are men in the world who would let you try to make you believe tonight that Jesus was just like any other man, and he absolutely was not. There are others who would say Jesus is God, but he wasn't man. He really wasn't man, and they're just as wrong. I want you to know that the Bible teaches us that this God was made flesh and made manifest in the flesh, this one who was the Word. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You just can't get around that. That's talking about the triune God, the three-in-one God. And he says, and the same was in the beginning with God, verse 1 and 2. And then if you turn over to verse 14 of 1 John, and I know there's a lot in between that, but if we get there, we won't get to verse 14. It says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Aren't you so thankful tonight that the Word was made flesh and he dwelt among us? Do you believe that tonight? Do you believe the Word was made flesh? I do. I believe the Word was made flesh. How can I believe that? By the Spirit of Almighty God. The same Spirit that showed it to the Apostle John is the same Spirit that has allowed us to see it and understand it and know it tonight. It says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. You know what? He dwelt among them. And they handled him. And they talked with him. And they heard him. And that's what he's saying here. Our hands have handled him. We saw him. We saw him live. We saw him die. And we saw him live again. And he says, and he is the Word of life. He's the source of life. He has life in himself. I can't give you the life tonight. If you have life, it's given to you by Almighty God. He's the source of life. He's the light of the world. He's our everything. He's our all in all. He says, and he dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father. And he's full of grace and truth. Goes into looking at verse 2. He says, for the life was manifested, and we have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. Well, who's he talking about? He's talking about Jesus. Is there life anywhere else? No. Jesus said this in John chapter 14. He says, I am the way, and I am the truth, and I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And he says, that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you. That's exactly what the ministry does today. What the Lord has allowed us to see, and that which the Lord has allowed us to hear, what the apostle said, what we've heard, and what we've seen, what we've been eyewitnesses of, we're declaring that unto you. And God opens the eyes of his little children to allow them to see it, and they're able to embrace it and enjoy it and walk in it and believe it. And even down to this day and this hour, God has a people out of every nation, out of every kindred, out of every tongue. And when he quickens us and makes us alive, he allows us to be able to see these truths. And we feel that same fellowship with the Lord that can only come from him. He said, that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. So could we say tonight that we're having fellowship with the apostles? I certainly believe that we could. That is, if we embrace and believe what they embraced and what they believe. If the Lord has allowed us to see it as he allowed them to see it, we have fellowship with the apostles. But is it just with the apostles we have fellowship? No, we also have fellowship with the Father. And we also have fellowship with the Son. And over in 2 Corinthians at the very end of the book, either in 1st or 2nd, I believe it's 2nd Corinthians, it says we have communion with the Holy Spirit. And so tonight, as we meet at this little place, is it important that we've gathered here? I say to you that it is. Why? Because we're here to have fellowship with one another. Listen, I'm thankful to have fellowship with you tonight in the truth.
I'm thankful to be able to sing songs that we agree are the truth, and to talk about things that we agree are the truth, to be able to preach the truth and hear the brethren say amen to the truth. But I'm telling you, our fellowship is not only with us, is it? It's with the Father, and it's with the Son, and it's with the Holy Spirit, and it's with all of God's children that have stood faithfully for the truth and contended earnestly for the faith down through the ages. He says our fellowship is with us. We may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And He says, and these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. God's little children need to know where their salvation comes from. And that's what the gospel is all about. It tells you what a mess you are in by nature. By nature, there's none of us who could save ourselves. There's none of us who wanted to do that. None of us who could do that. But our salvation is not in what we've done for the Lord. It's in what the Lord has done for us in sending His only begotten Son into this world. And Jesus came and did all that was necessary that God's little children might be with Him in heaven and immortal glory. And what that means for us today is that you and I can walk in the blessings of His salvation and rest in that finished work that Jesus did for us. And take up our cross and follow Him and try to live in a way that's honoring and glorifying to His name every day that we live. And that we can have joy that's full. My happiest times have been around the church. My happiest times in this world have been around the Lord's people. The more I'm among God's people, even when I'm tired tonight, and even when I'm weary, and sometimes even when I'm struggling, listen, I'm happy among God's people than I am anywhere else in this world, when I can feel His presence. I feel like that little child that we tried to talk about last week, that Jesus calls into the midst of the disciples. And then Jesus sets him by him. And then Jesus takes him in His right hand, or takes him by in His arms and holds him. I'm telling you, brethren, when we can sit together in fellowship in the truth of God's word, I'm not worried about all the cares and all the troubles of this world. I recognize my life is just going to be here for a little while, and it's soon going to vanish away. And one day we're going to be out of this old troubled world, and we're going to be with the Lord forever. And until that time, the Lord's going to take care of us every single day. You believe that? Well, if you believe that, you believe what John believed. And you believe it because, not because of what we've done for the Lord, but because of what the Lord's done for us. Because God the Father loved us so much that He sent His Son. Because the Son loved us so much that He was willing to come and die. Because the Holy Spirit loved us so much that He took up His abode in our hearts when we were born of the Spirit of God, and has given us an ability to praise Him. And if He's given us that, should we not be lifting up our voice in praise and joy? Rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say rejoice in giving Him honor and praise and glory. We ought to sing louder. We ought to be talking louder. We ought to be more happy. We ought to be the happiest people on the face of the earth because of all that the Lord has done for us. And He says, these things write we unto you. John wrote these things unto you, not in order to make you a child of God, but that your joy might be full. Listen, when we come out of church, our joy ought to be full. When we think about the things of God, our joy ought to be full. Because to know the truth is to know a joyful sound. It doesn't mean that we might not get corrected along the way. The Lord loves us enough when we're off track to correct us. But it should make us happy when we get corrected. It's an evidence that we belong to Him. And to have that evidence given to you, to know that you're not afraid to die and leave this world, because He's promised us a far, far better place. To live with the Lord is a great, great blessing. But to die even is gain for God's little children. He says, these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. He said, this then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. One thing we sometimes don't recognize about God, we recognize He's a God of love, and we know He's a God of mercy, and He's a God of grace, but He's also a holy God. He's altogether holy. There is no sin with God. There is no sin in his presence. God is a holy and a righteous God. In Him there is no darkness at all. And when
when we think about that, we go like, well, then how in this world will I ever be able to have fellowship with him? Well, it's clear that I'll never be able to get myself cleaned up to do that because I am darkness. Remember the verse over in Ephesians that said, ye who were sometimes darkness, now are ye light in the Lord. And there's only one way you and I can have fellowship with a holy and a righteous God, and that's to be made accepted with him, made accepted. And we are made accepted not by us getting it right, like the world would tell you to do. If you'll just get yourself good enough, God will receive you. I'm telling you, by our works, we'll never be acceptable in the sight of God. That by our works, there's none righteous. No, not one. There's not one of us who will ever stand before God just outside of the one who came and took upon himself a body of flesh and was made like unto us so that he could die on the cross and pay the sin debt for us. Just like we sang tonight, what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. He said that in him there is no darkness at all. And if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. That means when we are out running with the world and doing the things of the world, if we just say, well, I'm in fellowship with God and everything's okay, that's not the truth. When you and I are outside of his will and outside of his way, we're walking outside of his fellowship. Doesn't mean he doesn't love us. Doesn't mean we don't belong to him, but it means we're not having communion and fellowship with him. When is it that we're having communion and fellowship with him? It's when we're walking in the light. Now, how can we walk in the light when we're altogether darkness? Well, you can't turn your light on if you don't have any light. But when the Lord has made you light, he says, ye who were sometimes darkness, now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as the children of light. That means I'm to walk as a little child of grace. That means I need to be careful of what I'm thinking. I need to be careful to be sure that I'm not following the old spirit of man that's in me, but I put off that old man and I'm following the spirit of God. I'm put on the new man and my lifestyle and my conversation is changing and being that which is pleasing to God. What he's teaching here is it's not about licentiousness. It's not about, well, God saved me so I'll just live any old way in this world. He's saying as a little child of God, we desire in our spiritual man to walk in the light. When we're in the darkness, when we're in this old world, I said to you, when you're out there messing up, does anybody really have to tell you you're messing up, or is the Spirit of God in you already pointing out to you, I'm messing up. I know I'm not where I ought to be. I know I'm not doing what I ought to do. And that is the work of Almighty God in your heart that gives evidence that you're God's little child and that you belong to him. And God's little children just can't go live in this world any old way. We're to live in a way to try the very best we can to honor and glorify the Lord. And when we do that, when we walk in the light, we find a great blessing and a benefit in that. He goes on and he says, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. That is with God the Father and God the Son and others of God's children. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. I want to say this about the blood of Jesus Christ. Legally, the blood of Jesus Christ cleansed us from all sin. When Jesus said, it is finished, our sins were removed from us as far as the east is from the west, never to be remembered against us anymore. We could not get more clean than we were clean on that very day when Jesus died for us on the cross. That blood flowed from the hinder sea to the former sea, and it covered every one of God's little children. Everyone for whom Jesus died, the sin debt was paid. And legally we were washed in the blood of the Lamb, and we could never be, we will never need any more washing as far as that's concerned. Eternally we're secure in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I'll tell you, in time, we need applications of that blood in our conscience. Because there are sometimes we have, when we're out there and we know we're messing up, and we know we've messed up, and we've sinned against the Lord, we have a conscience that bothers you. I know I have a conscience that bothers me. I have an old nature that'll fly up in a minute. And so, you know, before I've thought really a lot about it, I've said something that I shouldn't have said, or I've done something that I shouldn't have done. And like the Apostle Paul said, even when I would do good, I find evil present with me. Do you under, Y'all understand that tonight? And that conscience worries you. When you go to bed at night, you go like, how could I have said that? How could I have done that? And I'm carrying that weight. Now, did Jesus, if I'm his child, pay for that sin already? Absolutely. He paid for it on the tree of the cross. But I still need an application of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ to my conscience so that I'll understand and realize he paid for that. And the way that I find that is when I'm walking close to him and I come, as he says here, he says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. What we do is that burden in our heart says, Oh God, I've sinned against thee. And that's why we're to daily say, as he taught us how to pray, in the Lord's Prayer, forgive us this day of our trespasses, as we forgive others that have trespassed against us. And he teaches us to pray that way. Well, has he not already forgiven us? And if he has forgiven us, why do we need to ask again for him to forgive us? Listen, that asking doesn't cause it to be eternally effective. It's already eternally effective, but it's applying to our conscience, to where we have our conscience clean, and our conscience where we realize that the blood of Jesus has taken care of that. Now, what does that make you do? Want to just go ahead and do it some more? No. It causes you to realize, listen, my sins nailed him to the tree. You know, we look at who crucified the Lord. Was it the Jews who crucified the Lord? The answer to that is yes. Was it the Romans who crucified the Lord? The answer to that is yes. But more than the Jews and the Romans, every one of his children are responsible for the nails that were driven in his hand and the nails that were driven in his feet and his back that was torn open and the suffering that he endured at Calvary. It was for my sins. Jesus looked upon a mob that day that had cried out, crucify him, crucify him. And they said, Father, and he said in his prayer, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I believe really in a sense he was seeing every one of us because we had sinned against him and did, and even in those sins, all our sins are that which caused him to have to die on the tree of the cross. I believe that works in us a real desire to be better. A real desire for the right reason to walk better, to act better, and to behave better. Because we realize the gravity and the weight. Sometimes people look at what we believe and think, well, if your sins are just forgiven, just go live any way you want to and act and behave any way you want to. And just as if grace gives you a license to live like that. Listen, when God works in a heart, he doesn't work that way. He causes one to be grieved about sin. Sin bothers you. If sin bothers you tonight, I hope it does. I hope it troubles you. I hope it bothers you. But then I hope you also are able to understand that when we have that problem, we can come and confess our sins to the Lord. And you know what the promise of God is? Is that he will forgive them. As we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive them. Does he forgive them because we deserve it? No. It's grace that he shows us. It's mercy that he shows us. And it's also justice. Because Jesus has paid the sin debt. Because Jesus has paid the sin debt, God the Father can justly forgive his children when they pray to him, and he can cleanse our conscience to realize, listen, and it's not because of what we did that we get cleansed, it's because of what Jesus did. How is it that God can forgive me? Because Jesus paid the sin debt. And because he paid the sin debt, I can be forgiven when I commit sins, even every day. As a matter of fact, he's talking to people who got the idea and the thought that they'd gotten above sin. There's occasions that I meet people today who feel like they've gotten above sin. You might have met some of them who said, well, I used to sin, but I don't sin anymore. And I've gotten past that. And their doctrine almost teaches them to say that because if they feel like that they have sinned after he shed his blood for you and you've gotten what they call saved and secure, that you can sin and then lose all of that. And so they feel like I have to live now perfect. It's up to me to live perfect. Those of God's little children believe in that doctrine or believe in a doctrine that is full of bondage and they're not at peace with their Lord and their conscience is not clear. Listen, the Lord will teach them better than that in their conscience. Even though their mouth might believe that and in their mind they might believe that, their heart knows better. If they truly belong to the Lord. And we know from the scripture. What does the scripture say about sin? It says, who sinned? All have sinned. And who's come short of the glory of God? All of us has come short of the glory of God. How often do we sin? Every day. As long as we live. Sin is mixed in all that we do. We'll never get good enough so that we can be acceptable with God. Aren't you glad and thankful Jesus did that which was necessary so you and I don't have to try tonight to get good enough in order to be accepted with God? Now, I want you to hear this. I'm not saying to you tonight that it doesn't matter how you live. And that's what John is saying. He's saying, look, salvation's of the Lord, but God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. And as God's little children, we need to walk and try the very best we can to walk as children of light. But even as we do that, we're going to sin and come short of the glory of God. And when we sin and come short of the glory of God, we have an advocate. Oh, I'm thankful we have an advocate. Oh, aren't you glad you got an advocate? When you look up what advocate means, it means one who pleads our cause. One who pleads our cause. Aren't you glad we got one who pleads our cause? And the one that pleads our cause with the Father is the Son. Listen, you couldn't have a better advocate than to have the Son of the Judge. You couldn't go into court in a better situation than to have the Son of the Judge pleading your case. And not only the Son, one who is God, took our sins in His own body and took the price. He was our propitiation, which means He was our atonement. He was the one who paid the price. He is the one who's our advocate who says, Father, forgive them. And why would the Father forgive them? Because Jesus has paid the price. That's what we believe tonight. That's what the apostles believe. You believe that? If you believe that, you have fellowship with the apostles. If you believe that, you have fellowship with the Father and with the Son and with the Holy Spirit. And we have fellowship with one another, and our joy is full. I hope your joy is full tonight. I hope you're resting in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope you understand we ought to try to live the very best we can. But we'll never be able to live good enough to be acceptable with God. But it's our duty and our responsibility, because our God is light and He is holy, to be as much like Him as we can be. And it's our joy to do that. And yet we recognize that as much as I try to do that, I have flesh, and my flesh is going to lust against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh, so that I cannot do that which I would, and I'm going to sin and come short of the glory of God. And because of that, I still have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. My righteousness is never going to be, whether it's in time or heaven, based upon me getting it right. It's based on what Jesus did for us. He says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. That's pretty plain, isn't it? When is that true? Every day, every hour, every moment. There's only one time we'll be able to say we have no sin. That's when we're made like unto Him and we'll be in heaven. What a day that'll be. You want to know about one thing that's going to be beautiful in heaven? Ain't going to be no sin up there. I'm not going to have any. You're not going to have any. If we belong to the Lord, our sins will be removed from us as far as the east is from the west. But we will, in our body and in our soul and in our spirit, be made like unto Him. Oh, you're happy now in part. What is it going to be to have the fullness of that in heaven? What a day that'll be. And He says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, get this verse. This is not how a little child gets home to glory, but it's how a little child finds peace with his Lord right now. When you've done that thing you said you're never going to do. You ever said that? I'm never going to do that, and you've done it. When you think that thought you never think you're going to think. Maybe you've even thought about other people who thought it, and you thought, boy, they are really a mess. Anybody who think like that, and the next thing you know, you find yourself guilty of that, and that's weighing on your heart and on your soul, even to the point you may say, am I a little child of God or not? Can a little child of God act and behave like that? Do I have any hope of being with Him in heaven? And you're looking and longing for some peace. Let me tell you, God's little children, His elect children, get that feeling in their heart, and they need deliverance from that. And there's a deliverance that's found in that by coming to the throne of grace and coming down on their knees, recognizing we have intercession made for us by the Spirit of God, and saying, Father, forgive me. Forgive me. We don't have to go knock on a man-made priest's door here in this world and go in and make confession and make ourselves feel better that way by doing something that He lays out for us to do. We go simply to the high priest that's always there, all the time. We go to our prayer closet and we say, Father, forgive me. You know what the Bible says about those who ask for that forgiveness? It says he'll forgive you. Isn't that good news tonight? I'm glad to be able to say that to you. He's already forgiven you legally when Jesus died. But he forgives you and your conscience is clean to where you feel clean. Listen, it's one thing to be clean. It's another thing to feel clean. When you feel that washing away, that's what the gospel really does help you see, is that the one who feels to be so guilty and undone, when they hear the good news of the gospel, you realize my sins were taken off of me and put on Jesus, and Jesus bore them to the cross, and now they'll never be remembered against me anymore, and that thing that I thought would separate me from God forever has been removed from me. And when it plagues me, and it burdens me, and it'll do that from time to time. And I'm telling you, the old devil will use that as well. He'll come up and say to you, you know, if you were a little child of God, you wouldn't act like that. You just get in a place and you lose your cool, lose your temper. I don't lose my cool. I lose my cool. Some of you brethren have been close enough to me to see, Brother Gary, well, you're not acting right. Something wrong with you. But I've lost my cool, lose my temper. Say something I wish I'd never said. Do something I wish I'd never done. Think something. Something maybe I even thought I'm over. You ever get the feeling like I'm over that? I'm glad to be over that. Be careful of that thought when you think you've got something whipped and you're over it. You know, I think I got this under control now. I got a handle on it. I got this under control. Listen, as soon as you start taking it and you think you've got it, you'll find I'm going to mess up. But then when I recognize, Lord, when we go to the Lord and walking in the light, we go to the Lord and we say, Lord, give me strength to walk and live and act. Help me be better. Help me talk better and help me behave better. And the Lord will give us that strength, but the old flesh is still there and you'll have it rise up in you and you'll say, what can I do now that I've messed up again? I told him I'd never mess up again and I have. We can come and we can confess it. Whatever's troubling you tonight, come and confess it. That's what he says. He says, if we confess our sins, who? God's children. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. He will cleanse our conscience from that burden that we're carrying. And God's little children who've been set free ought to be free. Not free to live any old way, but live free of that burden and that weight that they're carrying. There are men who would say, if you'll do this, and you'll do that, and you do some other thing, the answer will be in that. Listen, there's no other answer to be found but to go to Jesus and leave it there and take it to the cross. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. He'll give you rest from that. What a relief that is. He says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then verse 10, just in case we missed all the other verses, he says it again. He says, if we say that we have not sinned, how plain can you get with this one? If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, which we're saying God's a liar. Because I when I say I have not sinned, we're simply saying, God, everything you told me in your word, it really is wrong. I'm saying in that, when I say I have not sinned, that what God said in his word when he said I was a sinner is just simply wrong. And the fact of the matter, do I really make God a liar? No, I'm just saying that he is a liar. We know who God is. Let God be true and every man a liar. We understand that. But we try in ourselves to make God a liar. And then he says, and his word is not in us. That means I'm not following his word. And then he comes in the last two verses that I read in your hearing in chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. He says, my little children. Isn't that a good word? My little children. I know John's talking to these ones, but he's talking to those that he loves, and I believe he's talking to God's little children. And he's speaking, and he's saying, my little children, these things write unto you that you sin not. In other words, he just told you, you're going to be always in a state of sin, but he didn't say, because of that, just go do anything. He says, I'm telling you this in order that you would sin less, not sin more. We don't preach grace and free grace in order for people to sin more. We preach grace in order for people to see what grace, what a payment price the Lord Jesus Christ paid for sin. And therefore, you and I ought to live as free from it as we can. When you understand the cost of sin to our Savior, It caused you to want to live better and act better and talk better. Grace doesn't make you want to go live worse. Grace makes you want to live better, motivates you to live better. He says, my little children, these things I write unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, he goes on and says, we have an advocate with the Father. Who is that advocate? Jesus Christ the righteous. You can't get a better advocate. He's the one he talked about in the whole first chapter. That's my advocate. Isn't that good tonight? We have an advocate. Our advocate is Jesus. You know, if you go into court, you want a good lawyer. You want someone to stand up and be able to defend your cause. You can't have a better advocate than the Lord Jesus Christ. That's who the advocate, he's the advocate for God's little children. And then he goes on and he says, and he is the propitiation for our sins. That word propitiation really means mercy seat. It means an atoning sacrifice. The propitiation is that which washed away our sins. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And somebody says, well, see there, he died for everybody. Let me tell you, if he had died for everybody, then everybody would have had their sins washed away. There would be none that were not his children. That's not what this is teaching. It's talking to those of God's little children who are Jews, and says it's not just for the Jews that he died for, but he also died for the sins of the whole world. That means all of God's children, out of every nation, out of every kindred, out of every tongue. I say this is the same world that you find in John 3:16, when he said, for God so loved the world. The world that God loved is the world that Jesus was the propitiation for. He paid for the sin debt of his people. That is the world of his elect family. We could go on a long time more on that verse, but we'll leave it there for tonight. I do appreciate your kind attention and your prayers. Just please continue to pray for me. Thank you.